This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Recently, I've been reading reports that the number of organ transplants is rising, but the reason for that is troubling. Joining me now is Dr. Michael Inglesby. He's a professor of surgery at the University of Michigan. So first, are these reports right? Are we seeing more organ transplants?
Yeah, in 2016, we did more organ transplants, and there are more organ donors than there had ever been in the United States. So yeah, numbers are going up.
What's the reason for the increase?
I think it's almost completely related to the opioid epidemic. Common kind of causes of death that lead to organ donation historically have been things like trauma, car crashes, but cars are safer than they've ever been. You know, so mortality or fatality from a car crash is lower than
Well, that's
ever
good
been.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and gun violence numbers are actually down, other common causes. So by far, the growth area in organ donation in the United States is people overdosing.
How long has this been going on? How long have you noticed that trend?
The best data that I've seen is from New England. So it's kind of the New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, and Massachusetts area. In 2010, they kind of received about 4% of their organ donors from overdose. 2015, that number was about 27%. So it's almost, you know, a 7- or 8-fold increase over 5 years. So certainly it has been remarkable. And I've seen that in my day-to-day work.
It's hard to get a handle on just exactly how big this opioid crisis has become. Is Michigan any better or worse as far as you know?
Yeah, I think states hurt the most by the opioid epidemic. Kentucky, Ohio, and New Hampshire. Not far behind are states like Michigan. So any state with a large rural population, we somewhere are between the 10th and 15th most blighted state in the United States regarding overdose. So it's a big problem in Michigan. And I have seen it with respect to people who donate and who I operate on and why they're dead.
This is an odd question, but I have to ask it. You know, you've got recipients of those organs. This must be something of a blessing for them.
Yeah, I think tragedy happens within families, and we see our work as, you know, transplant professionals to try to make some good out of the tragedy. And yeah, we're doing a lot of transplants, and that is saving lives. But absolutely, our interest is saving lives on the transplant end, but also trying to combat this epidemic to try to save lives, because prevention will be key.
Stereotypically, it's a white guy in his 50s who's addicted to opioids. Are those the kind of people you're seeing become donors?
No. These are young people. I think our most vulnerable people are the group of people that are most affected by this epidemic. Just a couple anecdotes. You know, as a transplant surgeon, you go to other hospitals within the Midwest and you essentially operate on organ donors. And in the process of doing that, you don't usually spend a lot of time pondering, you know, kind of their journey and how they got there, because it's just not really conducive to doing the work. But a couple of years ago, I think myself and some of my colleagues have really noticed how common it had been. So in Michigan, about 3 years ago, we started a policy that before we operate on these people and essentially to make an incision in their chest and their abdomen to take out their organs, we pause and we do a checklist, kind of a safety checklist, and then we give thanks. It's kind of a different, it's a unique experience, because you're in the operating room and everything usually moves really fast, and essentially you can't move. And you have to sit there and wait for 30 seconds in silence. And during experiences like that, you do occasionally just ponder how this person got there. And, you know, looking at the donor, I started to notice how kind of perfect they were, how young they were, what great organ donors they were, and how sad that was. At least for me, I have a strong interest in combating the epidemic, and really that is what has motivated my interest, just seeing the tragedy that underlies this story.
We're seeing these kids get hooked on these painkillers, maybe after a dental procedure or a sports injury, something like that. Why aren't we seeing the warning signs of an addiction?
Yeah, it's a great question. As any physician or dentist, I think we all need to pause and kind of ponder our role in this. And so many of the stories of these organ donors started with, as you said, a wisdom teeth removal or, you know, a sports injury in high school. And young people are exposed to opioids, and then really it changes their life forever. The warning signs are tough. They're tough to notice. And it really, everyone is at risk. You know, it goes beyond kind of socioeconomics or race. It's really all of us are at risk. So I think the lessons are we as physicians need to be very thoughtful on how we write or prescribe for opioids. And then we need to really talk and work with our patients regarding the best pain care we can possibly give them. And then I think a really important message for your listeners is that if you have opioids in your home, you need to get them out of your home. They really are very dangerous to have in your home, and they can cause really devastating impact on your loved ones and on, you know, people in your community.
So as you saw this, was there a moment where you say, wow?
That's a great question. I can think of a time about 3 years ago when we went to a hospital and we got the liver and we were coming home. And one of the medical students asked me a lot of questions about the organ donor. And to be honest, as a transplant surgeon, you don't think about their journey very much. You just focus on, you know, taking care of your recipient. And it really made me pause and listen to their questions. You know, they're 25-year-old. It was all new to them. And they were very curious about the 25-year-old I just procured the organs from and how they got from, you know, an injury to their knee in college to overdose. And it really struck me that there's a role I have as a surgeon to kind of make sure at least my patients don't go on that journey and then potentially even do more kind of within the state of Michigan to really try to combat this epidemic.
If they've been addicted to opioids and that caused their death, is there any damage to any of the organs?
Occasionally, people who have history of substance abuse disorder are more likely to have hepatitis and HIV and some of the other diseases. But we obviously screen and test for all that very effectively. As a transplant surgeon, you spend a lot of time talking to your patients about the risks and the benefits. And if you need a transplant, you are willing to take on a lot of risks. If someone overdosed, it may affect their heart or their lungs or their liver, but usually the impact is pretty moderate. And in general, people who overdose tend to be good organ donors. The organs usually work pretty well. When you overdose, usually you stop breathing and your brain dies, but the rest of your organs can kind of thrive. And that's how we are able to kind of use them for transplantation.
Are we beginning to get a handle on this opioid crisis? I've been seeing insurance companies are starting to pass policies to limit what they'll pay for. Doctors are talking about making sure that, you know, instead of handing 50 pills, they hand 8 pills to a patient. On the other hand, I've heard doctors say, look, we just want to make sure they're comfortable. We don't want to lose them as a patient because we wouldn't give them a couple more pills. So are we getting there? Are we getting a handle on this?
I think so. It's a topic that 2 years ago when we started working on it, I think no one was really talking about, and now I think everyone is. And for the first time in my practice, I transplanted a small child, and the parents asked, you know, I don't want my child to get any opioids. I'd never been asked that before in my surgical career. So parents are starting to worry about this. So I do think we're getting a handle. I think physicians are starting to do a better job of taking care of pain. But most importantly, I think to get the word out to the general public about the important role opioids do have in their care, but also the caution that needs to be taken when any patient takes opioids.
Michael Inglesby is a professor of surgery and an associate professor of transplant surgery at the University of Michigan. Thanks for coming in and talking to us about this.
Pleasure.